While we were singing that song, His Name is Wonderful, I sat there and I got the overwhelming thought that sometimes the Lord can send. The Lord gave me life, the life that I live here. The Lord gave me that life. The Apostle Paul once said in a sermon that he was preaching that in the Lord we live and we move and we have our being. He said he gives life and breath to all. And so God, if you're living on earth today, God gave you life. After I had lived for 18 years in the world, about halfway through my 18th year, one night the Lord gave me eternal life. And like I said this morning, I just had the overwhelming thought again. I enjoy life. I do. I have a good time in life. I enjoy being with family, being with friends, being with brothers and sisters in the Lord. I enjoy life. I truly do. But won't it be good to get home? I mean, to live someplace eternally is really beyond our comprehension completely, because I know that everything that we do here, everything that we put our hands to, every type of labor that we do here in this world, it's always out there in front of us or in the back of our mind or however you want to put it. We know that it's only temporary. It's just going to last for just a little while. And but Jesus taught us that we can lay up treasures in heaven where moth and rust don't corrupt and where thieves don't break through and steal. And so I would to God today that your treasures would be in heaven. I'd like to read some scripture if you care to read with me. I will ask you to turn to the first chapter of 1 Thessalonians. And I want to read a few verses beginning with verse 1. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 beginning with verse 1. Paul and Silvanus and Timotheus unto the church of the Thessalonians, which is in God the Father and in the Lord Jesus Christ, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers, remembering without ceasing your work of faith and labor of love and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of God and our Father, knowing, brethren beloved, your election of God. For our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Ghost, and in much assurance, as ye know what manner of men we were among you for your sake. And ye became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Ghost, so that ye were examples to all that believe in Macedonia and Achaia. For from you sounded out the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place your faith to Godward is spread abroad, so that we need not to speak anything. For they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you, and how ye turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. That's reading the 10 verses that make up the first chapter of 1 Thessalonians for my scripture lesson here this morning. The thought that I have that I want to share with you today is the influence of the power of the Holy Ghost. The influence of the power of the Holy Ghost. I am persuaded that, and I know that no doubt today that there are a lot of people, I believe, that would not like to be told this today. But, you know, I'm not worried about what people like. I'm worried about the truth, preaching the truth. And I think there's a lot of people in the world today, and there were in the days of Paul, no doubt they didn't like to hear it, but I'm persuaded that any and all religion, separate and apart from the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit of God, is vain religion. It's vain without the presence and the influence and the power of the Holy Spirit of God. The Apostle Paul spoke about that in his epistles, about his concern for those who had a form of godliness but denied the power thereof. And so I want to speak to you today about something that I believe that we very much need collectively and individually. And we're not going to win anybody. We're not going to help anybody as a church or as an individual. We're not going to have any good and lasting effect upon people without the influence of the Holy Spirit of God on our lives. The power of God on our lives. If we're going to help people, then we're going to have to be an empowered people. Now, this was obviously something that when you read the epistles of Paul and his writings, this was obviously something that was very important to him. This was a point that Paul obviously thought it was very important for him to make, because we find that he spoke about this in more than just one of his epistles. In his writing to the church there at Thessalonica and sending them this epistle, he reminded them of this, that the gospel that he preached among them was not something that was only done in word. He said it wasn't in word only, but it was in power and in the Holy Ghost and in much assurance. And we find these two words throughout the scriptures. You find the two words Holy Ghost or Holy Spirit and power associated with each other many times. So Paul spoke here and wrote to the Thessalonians and reminded them that when they preached the gospel among them, that it was something that went out with power, with Holy Spirit power, not just something that was in the words that they spoke. When he wrote an epistle to the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians, he essentially wrote the same thing to them. He reminded them, and it's recorded in the second chapter of 1 Thessalonians, how that when he was among them and preaching to them, that he determined not to know anything among them except Jesus Christ and him crucified. Paul didn't have any desire to preach any thing or anybody else, any other way of salvation to the Corinthians than the salvation that is in the Lord Jesus Christ and what he purchased for us by his death on the cross and his resurrection. Paul said, I'm determined not to know anything else among you except that. And really, when you read the book of Acts, you see that Paul's journey into Corinth and his preaching there in Corinth, I believe, was shortly preceded by his trip to Athens there, where he had beheld all of those different altars that the Athenians had made and all of those different gods that they were worshiping, and how that he rebuked them for that and said, I beheld that you had even made this altar with the inscription to the unknown God. And him I declare unto you. He's the God that made heaven and earth and made me and made all things in heaven and earth. And he's the one that I declare. And so he, when he went and preached among the Corinthians, he said, it was my determination not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. And, you know, you have heard me say this a lot. And if I keep preaching before you, I'll continue to say this a lot. Jesus is the way. He's the only way. He is the only way of salvation. If you're here today and you're lost, there's only one way for you to come to God, and that is through Jesus. You can't get to him any other way. He is the bridge that spans that gap between you and God. He's the only way there. And so I sympathize today with Paul. And I agree with what Paul said. And I feel the way that Paul did. When I stand before you today and preach, I determine not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and him as the only way for people to be saved. If you don't come to Jesus, you're going to die lost. That plain enough? If you don't come to Jesus and seek him for the salvation of your soul, you're going to die lost and spend eternity in a devil's hell, because Jesus himself, and I love his plainness of speech. There was nothing hard at all to understand. It wasn't hard at all to understand Jesus Christ when he was here on the earth. He simply said, if ye believe not that I am he, ye shall die in your sins. Amen. If you don't believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and trust him, you're going to die in your sins. That's not really what I came to preach, but we'll just let the Lord have his way. How about that? Power. Paul said, I want to finish what I was saying there about what he wrote to the Corinthians. He said, when I came to you, I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. And he said, my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom. You know, I believe there are people today that in the world today that call themselves preachers, that's exactly what they want to do. They want to try to win somebody over. They want to try to baffle somebody with their brilliance. They want to try to win somebody over with their own wisdom. They want to, by their own wisdom, persuade people. But Paul said, wrote to the Corinthians, reminded them and said, I didn't do that when I was among you. I came and I just preached Jesus to you, and I didn't preach him with any type of enticing words of man's wisdom. And he tells them the reason that he didn't do that, and that was because he did not want their faith to stand in the wisdom of men. He said, my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Holy Spirit and with power. Power. That your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in what? But in the power of God. And it would be my prayer for Fairview Memorial Missionary Baptist Church and all churches like her that our trust and our hope would always be placed in the power of God, in the presence of the Holy Spirit. Let me tell you something. The Holy Spirit of God, and it's been proven through the years, the Holy Spirit of God can take people that... in so many ways are not gifted, and he can do great things with them. And you can take somebody that has a great, big, long, adequate vocabulary, and if God's not in it, it'll be vain words, won't it? Vain words. It's not, I heard it once put this way, God's not looking to us for our ability. He's looking to us for our availability. We need to avail ourselves to God and let God use us and let God make of us what he will and let God be the power in our lives, not our own wisdom or not our own thoughts. The Bible says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not unto your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him. And he will direct your paths. So Paul, obviously this was very important to him. It was very important to him that these people knew and that they understood that he wasn't relying upon Paul. He wasn't relying upon himself. He wasn't trusting in himself. He wasn't depending upon Paul to be able to reach people. He was depending on the presence of the Holy Spirit of God and the power of the Holy Ghost accompanying his preaching. And friends, I'll tell you, I want you to know today, that's exactly what I believe. I believe if preaching is going to take place, that's going to have its effect, that's going to reach the hearts of people, that's going to cut the heart of the sinner and cause them to realize that they're lost and without God and that they are in need of a Savior, it's going to have to be done by the presence and the power of the Holy Ghost of God. Amen. I believe in the Holy Spirit power in our churches. Amen. And in our individual lives. And something I guess that I wanted to talk to you about today is that when we don't have it, it ought to be of great concern to us. You know, if we can come together as God's people, if we can come together in the house of God and assemble here for the purpose of worship, if we don't experience the outpouring of God's power upon us, it ought to concern us. We ought to be going to God and finding out why we don't have it. If it's that way in your life, and I know that I've been there, and you know, I'm persuaded that We all get this way from time to time. Sometimes we just don't feel what we want to feel. Sometimes we feel void of the presence of that power of God upon our lives. And we begin to wonder, and we might begin to inquire of God. And that's exactly what we ought to do. And that's how we ought to feel. Because without it, we're going to go, and we're going to visit, and we're going to evangelize, and we're going to make no saving impression upon people if we don't have that power with us, are we? I believe the Scriptures plainly prove that. And I'm going to tell you why I do. If you look at the life of David, after that he had committed the sins that he had, and God wasn't pleased with David. He wasn't pleased with him. It displeased the Lord. The things that David had done displeased the Lord. And David was even told by what he had done that he had given great occasion to the enemies of God to blaspheme. Now, you know, when one of God's children does that, that's serious. When we do something in our lives that gives the enemies of God occasion to blaspheme, that's serious, isn't it? And so we find in the 51st Psalm, and we know that God sent Nathan to David there to tell him that it was him that had done this, that he was the man that was guilty. And we find and have recorded in the 51st Psalm what I believe is speaking about David's repentance and what he went through. And he begged God there to create in him a right spirit and a clean heart. And you know, one of the things that he asked of God, he said, he asked God not to take the Holy Spirit from him. Amen. Well, what does that mean? What's it mean? You know, the Bible teaches us that when we're saved, that the Holy Spirit dwells in us, takes up residence in our soul when we're saved. Spirit of God dwells within us, within every child of God. And that's how we know that we're saved. So what was David saying there when he realized how that he had sinned against God, and he went to God in this earnest repenting prayer and he asked God, take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Was David afraid that God was going to completely remove that indwelling spirit and leave him lost in his sins again? I'm going to tell you something today. I don't believe so. I don't believe that's what he was fearing. But I do believe that he was afraid that he was going to lose that influence, that he was going to lose that power in his life. You see, David had depended upon that. He had been dependent upon that for many years. When he would go into battle, that's what he was dependent upon. When he would occupy the office of king and have to make the important decisions that he made, that's what he would depend upon, the power of God in his life and God leading him. And David feared that God would take that from him. And folks, I'm going to tell you something today. We as God's people, if we don't please the Lord, if we don't please him as a church, if we don't please God in our individual lives, then we need not look for that power, that influential power of the Holy Spirit of God in our lives, because he dwells where righteous things take place. He dwells where good things take place. And David had a right to fear, because I'll tell you what I believe. If he had not turned from his sins and turned back to God, he would have lost that. God would have taken that away from him. And so we need power. The Lord obviously knew that we needed that power. We find that he began to assure his church of that before he was ever taken away. He began to tell them, you read the 14th, 15th, 16th chapter of the Gospel of John, and Jesus began to tell them about what was going to happen after he was gone, after he went to the cross and made the sacrifice and ascended back to heaven. He started to tell them what was going to happen, and he said, I'm not going to leave you alone. I'm not going to leave you comfortless, but I'm going to send another comforter. And the Bible tells us plainly that comforter is the Holy Ghost. And Jesus told his church to just wait for that. Don't you even take off on the commission until he has come upon you. Until he has come upon the church, he told them to tarry in Jerusalem and to wait for that power from on high. And that's what they did. That's what they did. They waited. They listened. They tarried. And then one day, like a rushing mighty wind, he came. And I say he, not it. He came upon them. The Holy Spirit came upon the church. You know what enticing words of man's wisdom will do? Lead people in the wrong direction. Sure will. Enticing words of man's wisdom will cause people's faith to stand in the wisdom of that man. Do you think there's not people all over the place today that gather, some of them in large congregations, and some of them gather and it's their preacher that they're putting all their confidence in? You think that doesn't happen? Well, it does. It does. You listen closely and you'll hear people talk about it. Oh, this man or that man, and that's all their talk. Let me tell you something, friends. You know what I would love today? Honestly, God knows my heart. God knows my heart today. I would to God that every time that I would stand in front of you, that I would just disappear. And it would be the Lord that would be magnified. That's how John the Baptist felt about it, wasn't it? Jesus said, verily, verily, I say unto you, among them that are born of women, there's not risen a greater than John the Baptist. But John the Baptist didn't think of himself as anything compared to Jesus, because he said, there's one coming after me that's mightier than me, and the latchet of his shoes, I'm not even worthy to stoop down at his feet and loosen his shoes. John didn't see himself as being great, did he? I'm not worthy to loosen his shoes. He's mightier than me. He's preferred before me. And when they came out to him, when some of them mistook John for the Messiah, they said, are you him? He'd say, oh, no. No, I'm not him. He's coming. He's a lot greater than I am. You know what the Bible tells me? Psalm 118:8. What's it say, Brother Dallas? It's better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. It's better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in princes. I'll tell you, it's better to trust in the Lord than to put your confidence in a preacher. It's better to trust in the Lord than to put your confidence in a king or a president or a governor or whoever that it is. Listen, those that place their trust in the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit of God, I believe, have an influence upon people's lives. I do. I believe that no matter what we say, no matter what we do, no matter how hard we try, we're not going to be effective. We're not going to be effective witnesses. We're not going to be an effective church unless we maintain the presence of the Holy Spirit power of God. God saved us. The Bible teaches me that it's by His power that He's keeping us, that it's by His power. And you know what? Today, when I talk to you, I'm not talking to you today about something that you don't know. You know it, don't you? You know it. You've felt it. You've experienced it. You know what I'm talking about. When we come together and we worship and we do the things that we do in these worship services and we sing the songs and we study God's word and we preach His word and we try to lift up His name and we try to praise Him, we know who it is when He comes. When God manifests Himself among us in that way, there's no doubt. I'll tell you this today, there's no doubt in my mind. When God comes among us, I know who He is. I know what it feels like. I know what His presence feels like. I quake in fear many times in His presence, but I love to be with Him. I love to know that God is with us. I have a desire today that God would take my weak efforts and that He just empower them. You know, there's been times that I've experienced that just a few words from somebody that was really close to God would really have an effect upon a person's soul. Just a few words. I'll never forget Brother Tajima years ago. I heard him testify of how that someone had just come to him and just said, I want you to know that I'm praying for you. And he said that person said that and walked away and it just tore his heart all to pieces. Because God was in it. The power of God was in it. And we need to pray. We need to continuously pray that God will empower us. Help us, God. Help us, Lord, to be close enough to You. Help us, Lord, to live our lives in a way. Help us as a church to stay close enough to You that when we come here, that those that come in among us and those that sit here among us that are lost and undone, or perhaps those that are walking contrary to God, that are His children, that there will be a presence among us that will convict people of their sins. Because I got to tell you, folks, I can't do it. And you can't either. We can't do that. It takes a presence and a power stronger than you and I to convict people of their sins and to cause them to desire to be saved. I'm going to tell you something today. I'm going to tell you just exactly how I feel about it. You may like it or not like it. I already told you that's not what I'm worried about. But I think it ought to be alarming when a group of saved people can come together and worship the Lord. It ought to be alarming to us. It ought to be alarming to any church when those who are lost can just sit comfortably among us and not be affected. That ought to concern us. That ought to greatly concern us and ought to drive us to our knees and find out why. Because the lost person should not be able to sit comfortably among the congregation of the righteous. Amen. I remember so many times in my life when I was lost, when I was a young teenager and I was lost, it would just scare me to death to be among them. There were times when I remember that it would bother me so bad that I had to do one thing or the other. I had to either hit the altar or I had to get up and leave. I just couldn't just sit there. And that ought to alarm us whenever that they can. That's what I believe about it. There ought to be a presence and a power among us that will not allow the unrighteous man to just be comfortable among the saints. So I appreciate your attention this morning. I do. I want you to take it, the things that are said, and I want you to consider those things and pray about them. I believe you'll find them to be true, that we need the presence of the power of God. If we're going to influence people and make converts, we're going to have that, because we can't do it. We can't do it without Him. Brother Joey, I'd like for us to have a song, please. I'm going to give this invitation again. I feel like the Lord would have me to do this. If you're here today and you're lost, this altar is always open. If you're here today and you're saved and you've got something you need to lay down, you've got something that's standing between you and God that you need to get rid of, you need to get rid of it. You need to get rid of it. If you've been saved and never told it, you need to tell it. You need to let it be known. God's not going to be happy with you until you do. I promise you that. He's not going to be happy with you until you do. And so I just pray today that while we stand and have a verse or two of song, that nobody, you would just wouldn't let anything stand between you and the Lord. While we stand and sing.
Number 115. Stand up for Jesus, ye soldiers of the cross. Lift high His royal banner, it must not suffer loss. From victory unto victory, His army shall He lead, till every foe is vanquished, and Christ is Lord indeed. Stand up for Jesus, the trumpet call obey. Forth to the mighty conflict in this His glorious day. Ye that are men now serve Him against unnumbered foes. Let courage rise with danger and strength to strength of stand up for Jesus. The strife will not be long. This day the noise of battle, the next the victor's song. To him that overcometh, a crown of life shall be. He with the King of glory shall reign eternally.
I feel good. I did what I believe the Lord asked me to do. Whether you did or not, that's between you and Him. But I'll tell you this, if you didn't, you're going to pay for it. You know, you and I, we ask things of each other. God doesn't ask. God commands. He commands things of us. And, you know, I've had people, I've asked things of people before, and I'm sure that people have asked things of me that didn't get done. And, you know, we just go on and we forget about it, but God's not like that. God has something for you to do. You don't do it, you're going to pay for that. You're going to pay for it. God does not reward for disobedience. Amen. He never does. So I discharge my duties to the Lord, and whether you did or not, that's between you and God. Anybody have a word?
Brother Miller, I've got a word. I've been debating on whether or not to say anything. But, you know, if the Lord has something for you to do, you should do it. And we had a good Sunday school class this morning, and we talked about the church, and we talked about several different things. And one of the things that came to my mind through our discussion was that, you know, the Lord has blessed us with a really good church. We have a lot of loving people in this house, and I have the utmost confidence in everybody here as my Christian brothers and sisters. I know that many times I'll come to church on Sunday morning and I'll feel my place, and there I'll be until the benediction, and that's not right. That's not right for me to just come and just to fill my spot and just to attend. It's not enough to just come and fill our spots. When we come on Sunday mornings, you know, the Lord reminds me, you know, Joey, you're here to worship me. It's isn't about you. It's not about me. It's about God. And I thought about something that President Kennedy said, kind of put a little twist on it. You know, we should not ask our church what our church is going to do for us, but we should be asking ourselves, what can we do for our church? And if you look at everybody around us here, this relatively small group of people, we could turn this city upside down if we all chose, and myself included, to live our Christian life 7 days a week, 24 hours a day, and reach out to a lost and dying world around about us, and to not just fill our places in this church, but to find our place in this church and in our worship service, and to do what the Lord would have us to do. There's great things to do. There's small things to do. Many, many, many people in this church do those things, and I'm so grateful and so thankful. But I know for myself, there are things that I can do that I don't do. And I'm just asking each and every one of us to look inside ourselves. Ask, is there something that I can do? Is there something more that I can do for you, Lord, to help our church to grow, to reach out to others around about us. It can be great, it can be small. The gospel of the Lord is the same. It's never changed. There's new ways of reaching that gospel out to people that maybe we've not thought of, that we should think of. It may be something that's on somebody's heart that nobody else has thought of, a way of evangelizing the gospel that we've not thought of doing, that should be brought up, brought before the church for us to consider. There's work for us to do. I appreciate this message today. It spoke to my heart. I needed to hear that. And I love each and every one that's here. I don't talk a whole lot, and I've talked more in that right here than I probably have in the last year all combined. But I love the Lord. I love this church. I love each and every person here. And there's work for us to do, and I just thank the Lord for that.
Amen. Amen. Bless you, Brother Joey. Appreciate that. Anyone else? Amen. Amen. Bless you, Sister LaVon. Let's remember this request. That's right. Amen. 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 Bless you, Brother Collins. Appreciate that. Anyone with a further word before we have the benediction?
Number 198.
Have a hand of fellowship.
I pray, help me draw closer to your will today. It does. doesn't matter what others may do. I want to draw closer to you. Lord, I surrender all that I am. Whatever you'd have me do, I have faith in your promise. I know that you'll show a way to draw closer to you, closer to you, Lord, closer, I pray. Help me draw closer to your will today. It doesn't matter what others may do. I want to draw closer to you. I know that I failed you time and again, but each time you always stay true. And that's why I kneel at the cross once again.
Bless you, friend.
And ask to draw closer to you. Closer to you, Lord. Closer, I pray. May do. I want to draw closer to you. Lord, I surrender all that I am.
She's coming back to
faith in your promise. I know that you'll show a way to draw closer to you. Closer to you, Lord. Closer, I pray. Help me to your will today. It doesn't matter what others may do. I want to draw closer to you.
Brother Powell, would you please pray the benediction? Remember, conference tonight at 6 o'clock.
From the sin and temptation to the light. Help us,
How you doing, brother? Good to see you, buddy. How are you?
Doing great.
Good. Did you have a good week? Friday was your birthday? Well, happy birthday. How old are you? About 21? Come back and see us. Thank you. Glad to have you. Glad to have you. Come back. Take care, buddy. Take care. Take care. Bye-bye. Y'all have a good day. See ya. You got to work tonight?
No, not tonight.
Oh, hey, all right.